The 15th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 15th Gene Key moves from dullness to fluorescence, and it's the path of magnetism. The 15th Gene Key is vast. In a way, it encompasses all other Gene Keys. Its reach is so broad and generous. Its heart is so open and giving. Here we have humanity at its peak. Here we have nature in its most abundant form, giving birth endlessly to the creative ideas of God. And then we have the shadow. There must always be a shadow, and there will always be those who hide in the shadow, and they tend to hide in numbers together, where they feel the illusion of safety. The shadow of dullness. And, you know, this isn't the remarkable dullness of the Taoist. This isn't the dullness that makes for a smooth surface that is the simple and beautiful sheen of the simple. This dullness is death. This is the stifled imagination. This is the comfort of the crowd, the shirking of self-responsibility. This is cowardice and comfort and indolence. Dullness is repetition. Dullness is overstimulation. Dullness is terror of being wrong. Dullness is bad behavior and lack of courtesy, lack of friendliness. You know, you may not think of yourself as dull, but every aspect of your life that doesn't lend itself to change has the potential to be caught in the shadow of this great Gene Key. The I Ching is called the Book of Changes for a reason. We must change. We must change or die. And the dilemma here is comfort, and our modern world provides us comfort in spades. We're so comfortable that we don't need to lift a hand to help others. You know, our comfort blinds us. Our comfort is like this great quilt filled with goose down. It's like our modern houses. They're so warm. You know, we don't feel the cold anymore. A couple of years ago, we had all the windows redone on our house here. You know, wooden window frames. And so we redesigned their shape to make them more generous and more appealing and more elegant to the eye. And I asked the architect, can he design the windows so that they leave a draft? You know, and he smiled and laughed. He said no one had ever asked him that before. Because the obsession nowadays is to keep out all the drafts. You know, the drafts are the demons. You know, we have to live inside non-breathing plastic-lined boxes. But, you know, drafts are essential. They keep the air from stagnating. They give rise to all the little noises that every house should have. You know, I think there's nothing worse than a silent house. You know, a house is a living thing and it needs to breathe like us. Anyway, the architect, he designed a hidden notch in the end of each window that allows you to lock the windows a tiny bit open. So I was delighted, eccentric man that I am. The point is that we get stuck with our comforts and we complain about the most unbelievable things. You know, if our food is late in a restaurant, we complain. If the price of fuel goes up a few pennies, we complain. You know, we've become so spoiled, so used to comfort that we've lost all our edges. Many of us don't even know what it feels like to be hungry anymore. You know, I'm always saying this, we eat before we're hungry. So we miss out on that feeling of emptiness that gives life its edge. At every turn, we dull our senses. We dull them with technology, with smartphones, with films. We dull ourselves with the inessential trivia of our voyeurism, you know? I'm also to blame. We're all to blame. The 15th Gene Key is a gauntlet thrown down before each of us. How to turn away from dullness. How to take up the baton of thrill, of adventure, of growth, in a world that drags us from every corner. Once, many years ago, when I was living in the highlands of Scotland in a small cottage, I may have told this story before, I took some magic mushrooms. I was on my own. And they grew just around my door. And one day I picked them and I brewed them up and I went on a journey. And I told myself that whatever happened, I would retain my smile. I was doing a practice at the time called the inner smile. And I would smile at whatever occurred, like the Buddha, you know. As it happens, it turned out to be an error. At one point, you know, I was sitting in the silence with my eyes closed, smiling softly. And I suddenly felt all these little creatures like demons or goblins, and they'd fastened grappling hooks and ropes to the ends of my mouth, and they were pulling down on my smile to make me stop smiling, you know? And my mind got caught in a battle with them for some time. You know, I can't let go of the smile. If I let go of the smile, I've fallen into chaos. You know, and then I finally let go and I stopped smiling. And, you know, the moment I stopped smiling, they were gone, because it was an outer smile as opposed to an inner smile. Again, you know, the point of the story is that those demons are now built into our society. You know, from all quadrants, comfort is like this siren song to blunt our sharp edges, to make us soft, to make us take life for granted. So the 15th Gene Key teaches, never take life for granted. Only death teaches us this, death and suffering. So be grateful for suffering. See it for the gift that it is. It's the only way that nature reaches us sometimes. She reaches out from inside us and shouts and screams. Awaken, she screams. Life is immense. Get outside. Take off your clothes. Let the drafts into your house. The 15th gift, magnetism. Magnetism. What is magnetism? Sometimes we speak about people with magnetic personalities. I'm not talking about that. That's charisma, an overflowing of the life force beneath the surface. But true magnetism, it comes from way below the surface. It rises up from the very depths of life. It may not so much flicker through your personality. It may not even, you know, it may remain hidden from view. But if you spend some time around a truly magnetic being, you will soon feel that there's something there. There's something indefinable, mysterious, something you can't quite put your name on, as though the great mystery swirls around that person like silent hidden flames. The 15th Gene Key is a polygamist, not in the literal sense, but in the sense that they are a lover. A lover of all aspects of creation, especially the human. They love the stars, the birds, the rocks, the cities, the garbage dumps, the places where people gather. In today's society, the 15th Gene Key has so much to teach the rest of us. This is the gift of loving the time one is in. This is the appreciator of all expressions of humanity, from the lowest to the highest. I had a girlfriend like this once, you know. Very special girl. She'd look at someone, for example, and at first glance, that person might not offer much in the way of inspiration. You know, they might look rather ordinary, perhaps repressed, perhaps angry or uptight even. But then she'd bring that person alive. You know, she could do this in a bar or in a restaurant or somewhere out. She would imagine their life and she'd dream them into reality. And she'd describe their struggle, their oddities, their humanity. And she'd do all of this in her imagination. But by the time she'd finished, you would love that weird person, you know? It was a practice she did. It's quite a rare gift. To be magnetic is to love everyone. It doesn't mean you have to like them, but through your heart you can feel their essence, so you can resonate with them entirely. You can always find something worthy and worthwhile in everyone. There's so much great positivity in this gift. And, you know, it's not forced positivity like we often find in the New Age. It's a truly humble, noble heart who genuinely appreciates the whole farce of life. It takes great humour to love that widely, to love the monotonous, the mediocre, the drab. But remember, this was the shadow of dullness. So the 15th gift has to have transformed that. You know, the grey of the shadow becomes the colour of the gift. And everyone is welcome here. Everyone is accepted, no matter how dull. And there's one more very important dimension to this 15th Gene Key, which is its seeking. It's one of the Gene Keys that makes up the ring of seeking. And in this case, it seeks betterment. It seeks advancement for all of us. It's truly the most benevolent of all the Gene Keys. Its benevolence is what makes it one of the great Gene Keys of love. And this is why mythically it's connected to the figure of the Bodhisattva. You know, the sage who decides to hold back his or her own enlightenment for the sake of others. One who remains behind to teach others rather than pressing on towards the ultimate goal of becoming one with the divine. That's the bodhisattva. And this is where the gift begins to bleed into the city. You know, as all this benevolence is transformed on the lower planes into love as service, into karma yoga, the yoga of divine service. Such magnanimous hearts ring out like bells in the evolutionary storylines of humanity. These are the 15s, truly our saints, our saviours, our role models, here to remind us of the profound and endless potential that there lies inside every human being. The 15th city, Florescence. In many ancient traditions and folk stories, there are myths of cities within the core of the earth. You know, the Tibetans speak of Shambhala, the mythical kingdom buried in a hidden valley in the Himalaya. And in their more esoteric scripts, there are even detailed descriptions of Shambhala, at whose heart lies a mythical inner mountain, Mount Meru. And this is the symbol of this hexagram, the mountain in the earth. And this should tell us that this is the most grounded and earthy of all the jinkies, the mountain in the earth. It's why in my book I speak of the Schumann resonance when I talk about this jinki, the natural energy frequency that's emitted by the earth. It's like the breath pattern of Gaia. And to be in harmony with the Schumann resonance is to be at peace. And as I've contemplated this 15th jinki, I've come to see a new dimension opening up in its city. In the gift, its benevolence shines through, but when that benevolence ripens fully, something extraordinary happens. The fruit falls back to the earth. And you see this sometimes with the greatest sages and wise people. They come down off the mountain and they become utterly ordinary. They sometimes even behave a bit madly. Deep harmony frees you to behave spontaneously, because whatever you do, your behavior emerges from that mountain of benevolence inside you. The ancients called this hexagram modesty, but I think it's been misunderstood. The traditional version of modesty is the kind of expression of outer humility, but sometimes extreme humility doesn't feel very human. It feels like a divine expression. And this city is all about staying human. You know, sometimes a great teacher will behave in a way that appears angry or weak. Such teachers often use human devices, human feelings and emotions to remain close to the people around them, rather than becoming so elevated that they end up being put on a pedestal. So the ultimate modesty is to allow another to believe that you're weak or flawed, just as a means of loving them. This is a deeper meaning of the word florescence. It means to use any and all behavior to create illumination. It means to stay close to all beings, especially human beings. You know, imagine if you were a god and you decided to become a human. What costume do you think you'd choose? Would you play a holy man and have lots of people crowd around you and worship you? Really? I don't think so. I think if you really were a god, you'd play tricks. You'd conceal yourself as all manner of beings, and then you'd work behind the scenes, influencing on levels unseen. The 15th jinki, it concerns the magnetism of the human aura. The 15th city works primarily through its aura. And whatever behavior it pretends on the surface, it's just a subterfuge. Beneath the surface, down within the inner mountains, the real work is occurring. The aura is alive. It's a rippling, resplendent field of multidimensional color and reality. The 15th city concerns the subtle colors of the higher dimensions. And if you spend some time with the seven sacred seals teachings, they're a mystical aspect of the jinkies, you'll come into touch with these auric signatures, these angelic colors. They are aspects of the intelligence of light, which is why they are common to all forms, but they're just hidden from the human eye. We can only perceive them through the eyes of love and through the depth of our benevolence. So perhaps you can sense the mysteries of this 15th city that lie on other planes beyond our reach. You know, but now I'm going to have to bring it back to earth. For us, listening or reading to this jinki, the secret is the earth and humanity. Stay close to the earth. Stay close to humans. Don't allow yourself to become too holy. That's the city of the 15th gene key. Hildegard von Bingen, she's a well-known medieval mystic who lived very close to the earth. And she spoke of a force. She called it viriditas. And wonderful word. Viriditas means the power of greenness, the fecund life force of nature and the earth. And this greenness can be imbibed by anyone spending time out in nature. It's a tangible life force that emanates from plants. And it's especially powerful when the sun shines through or onto green leaves and the stems of plants. That's when they seem to glow with this incredible, healthy, giving life force and power. And the 15th city says, stay close to this force field, this wonderful, homely magnetism that connects us all. That's the clarion call of the 15th city. The holiest of people are always the gardeners, because they're the closest to the earth, to this viriditas. And of all people, the gardener knows the meaning of fluorescence, the power of greenness. And the gardener also knows another thing, the magic of rhythm, because everything comes at its proper time. All beings flower in the end. So why not spread some joy while you're here? Why not take your clothes off and dance amidst the gold and the green?